Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This is Issues 2020. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Wichita Police Chief Gordon Ramsey. Welcome to Issues 2020. Nice to have you with us.
Good morning.
When George Floyd died while in police custody in Minneapolis, the video generated a firestorm of protests across the nation and the world, as you know. Can you give us your reaction to the incident that started all of this?
Yeah, when I saw that video, it was, it was shocking to see, and a very sad day for me and the policing profession.
Does this knee in the back of the neck, is this something that's, is this common practice, or is this something you'd know about anyway?
No, we don't train in anything like that, and it's forbidden. And we are codifying that now in policy to ban that neck hold or any type of choking.
Okay. And we're going to get into that in a minute because I know you're changing some of your policies. We'll talk about that in just a minute here. But first, I'd like to say, several protest events in Wichita after the incident. What's your assessment of how those demonstrations were conducted here locally?
I think overall they were, we had... 20 to 30 protests in a couple weeks. And with a few exceptions, they all went very well. Our charge was, as long as they are peaceful, we're going to facilitate a successful protest. There were a couple that went sideways that involved some property damage and gunfire, a lot of gunfire that we had to shut things down.
Now, what was the key to keeping those protests, by and large, from all of them morphing into something more violent?
We had a strategy where we wanted to facilitate people's right to protest rather than hinder it or have an excessive police presence to, some people might be intimidated by that. We would provide traffic control and be there to assist. But yet did not have this heavy police presence to hinder their First Amendment rights.
So you kind of took a non-confrontational attack, then I guess that's what you're telling me.
Absolutely. Yeah, we across the country you saw a lot of protests escalate because of police actions. And we didn't want to do anything to escalate a peaceful protest, right? We wanted to work with everybody to make sure that people were safe and the property was safe, but allow them to express themselves.
And yet you had the incident, that 21st in Arkansas, that nearly, from what I can tell, correct me if I'm wrong, but that nearly got an officer killed. That came after a peaceful protest, right? Was that connected with the protest?
Yeah, that was. So what we saw on many nights was that the protesters changed as the night went on, and it went from people that are concerned about social justice and really concerned about legitimate issues to more of a party or just total chaos. And with that chaos came a lot of shootings. And that particular night, we at 21st and Arc, the gunfire started to increase, and you know, we were worried someone was going to get hurt, and we had really no choice but to send people along. Now, you got to keep in mind, there was hundreds of people there. When we ordered them to leave, the majority of people left, and as we were clearing those that did not want to leave, you know, our officers took rocks, bottles, concrete blocks, and as well as rounds. And I was actually on the street right behind them when those rounds went past us, and that was very concerning for me and our officers and their families that someone would be shooting at them. Fortunately, we apprehended the suspect, and he is facing charges.
You know that, and that, that one video, though, is pretty dramatic, where you can see, you can't make out much, but you can see pop, 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 where that gunfire is coming in your, in the police direction. And I'm thinking, wow, was he seriously trying to, or was he just shooting over heads, or do you think he was seriously trying to hurt somebody, or can you tell?
Well, here's what I do know, is I know that some rounds ricocheted on the street in front of the officers. One of the ricochets hit an officer in the leg. One bullet, we believe, ricocheted off officer's helmet. It sure seems he was aiming for the police. And very unfortunate, very upsetting for our staff.
Of course, of course. I want to ask you about the people. And I don't know if you were able to talk with those people who were doing the bad stuff at the end. Were any of these people outside agitators, or did you see anybody from outside who was coming in just to cause trouble?
No, you know, most of the people were from the area that we dealt with. We had heard in other cities there was some of that. There's some talk maybe that some people were paid, but we haven't seen any proof of that.
Okay. Now, for several nights, police made their presence known across the city, where looting was possible, I guess. I know here over where we are, I went by Town East Square in the morning, and it was cordoned off for a few days. Tell us about that strategy of keeping things tamped down there after the initial riot, protests.
Yeah, well, so nationally, there was a movement by groups to loot particularly mall areas or big box stores. And we had the same issues here. And we worked really hard to ensure that our businesses remain safe and secure, extremely hard. And I don't think a lot of people realize how hard our staff worked to ensure that this community remained safe. They worked their tails off to ensure that that these hardworking business owners, that their businesses were not damaged. It was a little bit of a cat and mouse game for a while. We did end up arresting individuals that were planning some of this, as well as that participated in some of the looting.
Do you now? Did that entail putting some people extra on third or overnight for you?
Oh yeah, we had to have significant staff. You got to remember, the city's 170 square miles, and these big box stores are located throughout the city. So we did. We asked a lot of our officers the first couple weeks of this month. Days off were canceled. Shifts were extended. Our men and women of this department worked very, very hard and were away from their families with the sole purpose of keeping our residents and businesses safe.
You know, you look at it, I'm a media person, right? And I look at the national media and I look at the way the networks have covered the protests and everything, and you can't help but think that if the police have not come off well with them, and yet we know darn well that our police are on the job doing a great job. It's kind of hard to watch some of that at night for you when you watch the TV.
Yeah, you know, I've told our staff, I said, you know, stay off social media and quit watching the news, because it's depressing. And it adds to the stress of our staff. We've got incredible people that work for this department that are compassionate and go out of their way every day to help the residents of the city. And and they've put decades in, and to see you know, this Minneapolis incident spin the way it did, and to blast all police and brush them with that same brush is really a shame. There's no other profession where when a couple of staff members, a couple of people in that profession screw up, does the whole bailiwick get painted, right? And that is, I think that's one of the toughest things for policing right now. It doesn't matter how great of an officer you are, you still have people that are angry at you.
And yet I'll bet you're getting some pretty good support from some of the citizens around the city. Are you not?
And, you know, that's kind of the story that's not making it out, is I'm hearing, and our officers are hearing from a lot of people, thanking them, people dropping off snacks at the stations for officers. And that's what helps keep them grounded. Because when you watch the news and look at social media, it taints their view of what the actual support that we have from our community. And our community has come out and offered tremendous support for our officers.
Now, you've been revising police policy recently, I think. What are some of the changes that you're making to policy?
Well, so, Steve, we've been working on a lot of these issues that have come up for years. These issues are nothing new to us. You know, the talk about the need for more social services in our community, you know, putting more money toward homelessness and chemical dependency treatment, mental health, we have been talking about that and that need, because this burden of homelessness and mental health and chemical dependency is falling on the shoulders of the police. All of our societal ills are often solved by people with a 911 call. And we are not the best organization to be dealing with a lot of these things. So our officers are put in many positions that it could be handled by social workers. Since 2016, we've been applying for grants to embed social workers inside the police department to help us work and address a lot of issues that we don't need a commissioned officer to go to. So that's been a big one. You know, the de-escalation has been a focus of ours for years, where we are teaching and focusing on time and distance, not creating a crisis, and communication as our move toward keeping things from escalating out of control.
Well, and you and I, we've done a few of these programs, and I'll say, yeah, I'll echo that, because you have been talking about this for several years now. It's nothing
new.
We
have.
It's not new.
This is, no, none of the new, I mean, you know, one of the things that came up is that hadn't come up before is the qualified immunity. But for the most part, all these issues are things that we've been talking about. We've been meeting with activists for years on this, and those people at the table know that. What's come out of this recent event is we've got a lot of new activists, where we have to go back to square one and talk about the things the police department is doing and our efforts to improve as an organization.
So what is that qualified immunity? I know there's somebody who'll say, well, you've got to take that away from police officers. What is that exactly?
Yeah, it's essentially officers acting within good faith. And it's not just officers, it's government employees that are acting in good faith, are, you know, represented by their employer if something goes wrong, right? And that they can't personally be held liable when they are not breaking laws. And for the most part, it has worked. And while I think there, you know, there's been some case law where there might be some things that could be readjusted, for the most part, I don't necessarily agree that that one needs to be issued. Qualified immunity, essentially, protections are extended to a wide range of government employees. Mm-hmm. And it does not prevent officers who engage in misconduct from being convicted of criminal offenses or anything along those lines.
All right, Jay, you're listening to Issues 2020 on the Intercom radio stations, and our guest is Wichita Police Chief Gordon Ramsey. Now, you've been named to a special governor's commission on policing and racial issues. I presume that means you're going to get a big check from the government. probably not, but this is a voluntary thing. What are there, about 20 people on that? Tell us what you think you hope to accomplish on something like that. What will your input be?
Yeah, well, it looks like I'm the only police representative on there. So I think it's important that police do have a seat at the table and can talk about a lot of these issues that we're discussing right now, the things that we're working on. I think the biggest issue is having a voice and recognizing the areas that we need to see improvement upon. And a lot of this boils down to lack of funding. All these issues we talk about really boil down to lack of funding.
Well, no, you've talked about over the years, as you mentioned earlier, you're seeing people on the streets that and confronting people on the street, or they're confronting you, that shouldn't be out there. There are people with so many mental and drug disorders that they should not be on the streets.
Right. It's sad to see. It's in many cases, it's almost inhumane, the conditions that some people live in. And they are unable to make decisions for their own health that is causing them, you know, it's just has become many cases inhumane. And we care about these people and we want to get them help, but we're limited in what we can do because of resources. And should these issues be falling on our police officers? And I don't believe they should.
All right. When you talk about training, just a general statement, I've talked to some of the older fellows who've been police officers and said they used to send us out with a badge and a gun, and that was about it. You do fairly extensive training, a lot more sophisticated nowadays, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. You know, just society's changed, right? So even the amount of mental health calls that we go on compared to when I started 27 years ago are significant. I didn't receive any mental health training when I started as a police officer for recognizing it and how to handle it. Now all of our officers are trained on at some level in mental health training. We talk about the duty to intervene. That is when, and this is one of the things that we're codifying in policy, but for years we've been training on this, that when you see an officer that's having a bad day and is mistreating someone, that you step in and you take over, right? People forget that our police officers are standard issue human beings, as special as I think they are. They're no different than anybody else. They have good days, bad days. They have emotions. And we're working more than ever now to train their partners to recognize that when someone's having a bad day, that we step in. Police officers can't have a bad day anymore. And the scrutiny, I've been saying the scrutiny of police officers has risen, you know, every year now as chief for 14 years. And every year the scrutiny gets higher and higher to the point where we expect these men and women almost to be superhuman and not to make any mistakes. And I want to make sure we get the best and brightest coming in the door and that we can retain the best and brightest. And that's why it's important for people to remember that we need to support our good men and women out there that are wearing the officers. Otherwise, we're not going to get the best and brightest, and no one wants that.
The phrase is being heard a lot, defund the police. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, well, it's a lot of it's what we're talking about, that the over-reliance on police to deal with all these societal issues, and that because there's been cuts across the board, that now police are kind of the social services now of last resort. And I agree with the point that we need more social services, we need more drug treatment, we need more help for homelessness and mental health, but I don't believe that it should come at the expense of the police. Now, if we fund some of these other entities, it might take some of the load off police, and someday we might be able to look at cutting some police. But I can tell you right now, we had 3 shootings last night, and we are, our police are busy out there. And if we cut police, there is going to be significant cuts to what we're able to do for the community. And that makes me very nervous.
Describe, if you will, our police department's efforts to maintain good relations in various neighborhoods around the city. I guess what you call it, community policing or whatever you call it.
Yes.
You work at that.
Yeah. Community policing is at the core of who I am as a police officer, and has been my whole career. This department has a long history of doing incredible community policing efforts. It's ebbed and flowed throughout the years, oftentimes with staffing, but community policing is very important to me and to how we work with our community. So, you know, some people said, well, you got to start doing community policing. These are some of the new people at the table. And I'm like, well, We've been doing it for a long time in this department.
Mm-hmm. Talk about efforts by the police to recruit officers of all ages. I know that for a while you were having trouble finding anybody to come and apply. What's going on there?
We were. I think part of that, Steve, was we've had significant budget cuts over the years to our training academy, and we had stopped doing recruiting. In 2015, we had 400-some applicants. Last year, we had well over 1,000. Part of that, I think, is our co-located facility at WSU, where the criminal justice program is on the top floor of the academy. So we have a lot of interaction with students that want to be police officers. That's been a tremendous program. But we've also really partnered up with different military bases and different colleges across our region. And we've seen significant success at increasing the number of applicants in the last couple of years.
You know, it occurs to me in all of this situation, all the videos that are coming out, a police officer has to understand he or she is going to be on camera somewhere all the time, or can be. You are equipped, all of your police officers are equipped with body cameras. Has that been a positive move, you think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In 2016, we outfitted all police officers with body cameras. In 2017, we got all the patrol sergeants with body cameras. When we rolled it out, it was about 50-50. 50% of the officers were ready for it. 50% were nervous. Now I'd say it's about 95%+ of our officers really value that camera. We clear about 9 out of 10 complaints that we get by watching the video camera. So, It helps us out tremendously, and the officers see that, and they value that.
All right. Well, the 4th of July weekend's coming up, though. Will WPD be involved in enforcing fireworks rules in the city?
Yes. You know, it has been, it's about, you know, 50% of the people you're going to make happy, 50% of the people you're going to make mad. It is impossible to keep everybody happening with fireworks. But really what it boils down to is being a good neighbor, and being considerate of your neighbors. And, you know, it's sad we have to legislate rules on this, but we do know that there's people that have children and dogs and people with, you know, veterans that have post-traumatic stress syndrome that fireworks impact them. And we just have to be good neighbors. I'd much rather not have to go out and police fireworks. But when someone's blowing them off at 3 a.m, and it's waking up the neighborhood, or it's going over someone's house and they're worried about their house catching on fire, you know, that's why we're here.
Mm-hmm. Quick comment, if you will, about illegal drugs. We've talked about this before. You've told me time again and again, meth is the biggest problem. And I've run into somebody on a personal basis who has running into that meth thing. Is that still the case?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Interestingly enough, the COVID days here has increased the price of meth. And I think part of that has to do with, you know, some tightening up at the border and different locations. But we are still seeing meth as our biggest issue. The trend, though, is we're seeing an increase in synthetic drugs. That is stuff that you can purchase K2 online that isn't legislated as well as we'd like. Because it's with chemical dependency, the big issue is accessibility and cost. And so these synthetics that kind of ebb and flowed over the last couple of years, we're seeing an increase in those because they're pretty easy to get. And they're dangerous. A lot of them have, you know, they've never been tested on what happens to you after you use them. They're not regulated on what's going in there. Synthetic drugs are a big concern as well, and we're seeing that increasing right now.
You know, with all the pandemic and the protests and whatnot, how is the morale among Wichita police officers right now?
Well, I think they're tired. I think the protests and the extended schedules and the demands on them took a toll. And I am grateful that we have men and women that were willing to give up their family time and stay away. In some cases, some of them worked 18 days straight. I am so grateful for them, and but I know it took a toll on them. They're tired, as well as just the beating our profession's taking. And when you work your tail off to serve a community ethically, morally, and to the best of your ability, and then to have what's going on right now with this an anti-police movement and the profession being bashed, it's demoralizing. And it's a concern of mine, and we need people to stand up and say, we support our good cops. We support the police and what they do for our community. Hey, they're not hearing it right now.
All right. Well, maybe this will help. Thanks for spending some time with us this morning. We sure appreciate it and appreciate the job that you and your people are trying to do out there every day.
Always a pleasure, Steve. Thank you for having me.
Our guest, Wichita Police Chief Gordon Ramsey. And that's all for this edition of Issues 2020. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.